2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
We are going to be talking about the fact that renting with friends is looked at as a rite of passage, but a passage to where. And for a lot of us these days, house sharing is well into the future, is kind of a realistic prospect. Well, my next guest, Alice Wilkinson, can help make it all work out in the end with her book, How to Stay Sane in a House Share. Alice, you're very welcome along to the show. How are you this morning?
Hi, I'm very good, thank you, Laura. Thanks for having me.
It's no problem at all. Thank you so much for joining us. I think this is a topic that, you know, affects a lot of people. But for the listeners who are listening in right now, can we like establish your credentials a little bit? How many house shares and housemates have you had?
Yeah, so I'm sitting in my 8th house share of 10 years. I've been house sharing for 10 years and 18th housemate now.
18th?
Yes.
So you know what's going on. You know the crack at this point.
Just about, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I've had quite a few myself as well. But what would you say are the pros and cons of living with total strangers, Alice?
Yeah, so I think actually having lived with 18 people, I think living with strangers, it does sort of afford you this anonymity that you get. You can kind of live alongside someone without them being too much in your business, which is sometimes a phase that you want in your life, isn't it? To kind of get on with life without people interfering too much. I think there's also a huge risk that comes with that. I think the way that we house share at the moment, where we don't really have very rigorous interview processes when we move in with someone, kind of does, you know, there's a huge risk factor involved with living with strangers as well.
Yeah. You talk in the book about doing stuff as a household. Like, how important is something like that?
Yeah, I think doing things as a house is kind of, it reminds you of the reasons what, like the good things about house sharing. Mm. I think there's, you know, if you're getting annoyed with your housemate because they're leaving all the washing up on the side and that's all you ever, the only interaction you ever have with them is seeing their dirty dishes. Whereas if you, you know, if you've gone out the weekend or you've done something nice with them and you've remembered that, you know, they're adding to your life as well as kind of leaving dirty dishes, it kind of adds a bit of context to the relationship. I think it can help it kind of rub along a bit nicer.
Yeah, it's kind of mad as well. I was chatting yesterday when I was telling people you were coming on the show. I was saying that one of the house shares that I was in, I knew it was time to get out when I had a folder on my phone of the air fryer being dirty. I was like, that's not me as a person. Like, I don't care about the dirty air fryer, but it threw me over the edge so much that they just never cleaned it. But then when I went out with them, you know, just for dinner and stuff, and then I realised, no, I actually really like you as a person. I don't care about the air fryer. You know, it just went full circle again. You're right. You got to grease the wheels a little bit. We won't go into the whole book because there's a lot in it. But can you please tell the story about Ben and how it shows the dangers of adult friends living together?
Yeah, so I lived with a friend who I'd known for 10 years and we were really excited about living together. We'd been really good friends up to that point and, you know, a couple of really good years living together. But one of, her boyfriend kind of like slowly moved in and was living in our house. And at the same time, we were noticing that things were going missing, money and alcohol as well. And yeah, it transpired after many months of quite tense, you know, house share politics, not knowing who was taking it, asking difficult questions, that it was her partner. And, you know, having to have that conversation was something I wasn't prepared for. I think it really taught me that when you're living with a friend, you know, when you see a friend from time to time, you kind of choose what you bring to that friendship and you choose what you tell them. But when you live together, there's this sort of merging of lives that I don't think friends always are prepared for, and you don't really get to choose what that person sees. And I think if you are going to live with a friend, you need to be really intentional and ready for that kind of uncomfortable sometimes. How much I know about you,
because I think as well you need to be way firmer on your boundaries when you're living with a friend, because you know if you see them day to day or if they hang over at your house and everything, it's a bit looser. But when they're in your space the whole time, and it gets quite uncomfortable too. Like, I've been in that scenario as well, where someone starts seeing someone and they're over all the time, and next thing it's kind of like, are they living here, are they not living here, do they pay rent, like, you know, where are we going with this? And it does lead to very uncomfortable questions. But what is the big question that you use to try and avoid the icy atmosphere that can kind of lead to the inevitable slide to the end?
Yeah, so I think the lesson I learned, and I interviewed a lot of women for my book who also lived with friends, and I think the key is to be really intentional. So if you are going to live with a friend, have a conversation up front, like inevitably something's going to arise that's going to come between you. So you just need to kind of say at the beginning, like, you know, if our goal is to live together for however many years, like, we just need to keep this line of communication open and just keep assessing it. I one of the women I spoke to for my book, she actually did that, and they decided a year in as a friendship that it wasn't working, and they both left the house share and kind of managed to maintain their friendship outside of a house share. Mm. So I think it's just being really intentional and having that kind of constant check-in that things are going okay. Yeah. And if they're not, like, acting on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the idea of rupture and repair then, because you've really looked into it. Like, how can adults continue to live together after, and I put it in quotation marks, but an incident?
Yeah, so I think there's a huge learning curve here for lots of people, because I think for me, and I'm sure it's the same for lots of people who are living in house shares in your 20s and 30s, you know, you learn a lot about your conflict style. And while some people learn that in romantic relationships, that kind of a bit more kind of hold you in a closer pattern. I think that people learn a lot about it in house shares as well. Mm. And I think there's so many different styles that we don't necessarily know how different people react to conflict. So I think it's partly kind of knowing your own response to something. You know, are you going to get angry? Are you somebody that freezes and kind of avoids conversations? Just knowing your own reaction to it, and then being able to have a conversation after the incident. I think the timeout thing is really important, but you need to be able to kind of say, look, I'm just going to take some space away from this so that I can come back to you with a rational response. Yeah, I think it's just about being really self-reflective and also, you know, holding space for somebody else and being compassionate that their reaction to a conflict might be different to yours.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, I'm one who, like, and I've noticed myself over, like, the last, like, 10 years or so of living with different people, of, like, I blow the lid. Like, I'm like, ah, I can't believe you did that. And then I'm like, oh, actually, if I just walk away from the situation and come back, I can sit down then and go, look, I was really annoyed because of this. It's nothing to do with you. It's just how I react to these situations. Whereas I lived with my best friend who is as quiet as a mouse, and she would very much not react in the same way. But, like, I was robbing her socks every day because I kept not doing my washing properly. And she was like, this has to stop. And I was like, oh no, you've said it now. It means you're this is your version of blowing the lid. Like,
yeah. But if you can sort of find a middle ground, because I live with someone, so I was the same as you, kind of do get really cross on them. I lived with a girl who was the same, sort of didn't like that. And we ended up having, you know, we'd have a conversation about how we overcame conflict, and that was really healthy. Then you can sort of approach it.
Then you can have a laugh about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And once you can start slagging the other person, then you know you're absolutely game set match, you're fine. One of the ideas that I absolutely love in the book is the hierarchy. Can you explain what you're getting at there? Like, what happens if two people see themselves in the same role?
Yeah, so this is something I really observed in all of my house shares, that you know, initially you move in as four individuals, and then slowly you kind of merge into this pecking order of sorts, where someone's been there first and they're kind of at the top of the chain, and they're kind of directing people on what they should be, how they should be doing this or that, the other. I think there is definitely a risk that you kind of move into a house share and you're both kind of after the same role, like you both want to be the leader of the pack. I think mostly, like, in my house shares, there's always been one clear leader, like somebody that's been there, living there first, or someone that's just at home more, or someone that's just got a bit more time to kind of organise the house. Mm. But there has been, one of my last house shares, where we all kind of split the responsibilities, so it didn't feel so much like a hierarchy. There was a bit more of a, what do they call it, like a flat structure, where we all kind of pitched it. I think it's, again, just being about being quite clear about how much responsibility you want to take on and how much responsibility you can take on in a house share, and being quite vocal about that. Like, if you are someone that likes to see the finances and you want to see where they're going, then, you know, you just need to articulate that to your housemates. And if not, and you're happy to kind of just pay into somebody and somebody else kind of run the house, then you're taking a different role there.
And you do have to see what kind of personality styles suit what, because like, it's not even down to, okay, who's doing the dishes, who's loading and unloading the dishwasher, who's bringing out the bins. It's the bills. It's the rent. It's yeah. your, like, your heating. It's like, who's going to keep on top of what? Like, who's the most responsible person in the room to do this? And if there's none, then someone's yeah. just going to have to take it on and set an alarm on their phone and hope for the best. You have really done your research, and it's not just a snappy title. This is really a handbook on how to survive a house share situation. What are a few basic rules, though, that you might give people sharing a life together in a house that they want to make a home?
Yeah, so I think my first one is to be really intentional about what your house share means to you. So, you know, like in dating and relationships, we kind of, you say like, I'm looking for a committed relationship, I'm looking for a casual thing. You kind of always label that.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need to be doing with our house shares. Like, are you looking for a home where you want to invest in the people and make friends? Or is this just going to be a space where you can live alongside someone and hopefully harmoniously? Like, you need to decide what it is. And I don't think we're very good at doing that. There's a whole load of research, you know, self-reflection. What is this going to bring to my life? And what am I looking for before you even start searching for one?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, my first tip is to just be really intentional about it. I think the speed at which we have to find house shares doesn't help. But I think if you can slow down and just take the interview process really seriously, search as many as you can, and just be really, you know, intentional and take it seriously. I think that's my first tip. My second is to be comfortable having uncomfortable conversations,
yeah.
Which is something I'm still learning. I think we all are in whatever phase we are, because it's really uncomfortable saying to somebody, oh, can you just clear up your stuff, or this is annoying me. But I think that it is the savior. Like, if you can say it before it becomes a huge issue, it will save all your problems down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just to invest in it. Like, I think we've got this, as a culture, we look at house sharing as something really temporary, and if something goes wrong, we can just move on, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what stops us feeling at home. Like, we're not investing in our spaces, and we're not investing in our people that we live with. And I think actually, if we can do that even a little bit more, like take it seriously if someone's having a bad day and that's why they're leaving the dishes, or
yeah.
you know, just be a bit more empathetic and compassionate to people. I think that is something I've observed isn't happening loads in house shares, and I think it should.
Yeah, I think you are dead right. That last point is, I think, the most important, because it's one of those ones of like, if you can actually just have an honest conversation with everybody, then you can breathe a sigh of relief, because it has to be a safe space for you. It has to be a sanctuary. You can't be dreading going home just because of a housemate.
No, exactly. And that, yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's kind of, but also often once you say something, and I've noticed this as well, once I've kind of got over having that uncomfortable conversation, like, people do actually care about you. And I think it's actually allowing other people to take care of you as well is something
yeah.
that we're not always don't always find that comfortable. You know, often if you say like, look, this thing's really getting on my nerves, people are often quite happy to help stop
yeah,
that.
Or, they're kind of going, like, sorry, I didn't realise that made you feel that way. And then it's back to the basics again. You're good. Alice, thank you so much. It is a great read, and it has got some sound advice in there. Alice Wilkinson's How to Stay Sane in a House Share is out now. Alice, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much.
No problems. We'll be right back after these. 2FM
Mornings with Laura Fox Podcast. Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find Bagsmore to get you through the week at Maxall.